singing. Could we just please unite our hearts together around the throne of grace in prayer? God, our eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you for that glorious day in many of our lives when we can say, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We thank you for that glorious day in our lives when the glorious light of the gospel shone into our hearts and we were born of God. And we can say we're only sinners saved by your grace. We thank you, Father, for the author and the finisher of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that one who took our place upon the old rugged cross at Calvary, for that precious one who bore our sins in his own body in the tree. Thank you, Lord Jesus, an awful price. You shed every drop of your life's blood. And we can say with the word of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And it's the blood that atones for the soul. And Lord Jesus, we thank you in Calvary. Not only did you suffer, did you bleed, did you die, but praise God, the third day, the Holy Spirit rose up, my lovely Savior, from the dead. Thank you that he's alive forevermore, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. What a wonderful Savior the people of God have. And Lord, we cry that you will bless this meeting this morning, Lord. Thank you for ready blessing the singing of your praise. Bless the prayer that's offered. May I experience God hearing and God answering prayer. Bless me in a few moments as I read and preach the word. Hide this child behind the cross that none will be seen save Jesus only. Dear Lord, you must increase. I must decrease. In this meeting tonight, that your name would be uplifted and glorified and set far and high above all. Dear Lord, bless every child of God in this house of God tonight. As our faces differ, so do our needs. And I pray that you'll bless every child of God that's gathered in here, that we will leave the house of God saying, it was good for us to be here, for it was here that we met with the Lord. Maybe there's one here and they're not saved. Lord, may they get gloriously and wonderfully saved. Bring backsliders back this morning and have great glory. We pray for the many sick ones. We thank you, you promised in your word, the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise them up. We pray for those that have lost loved ones, that they'll know the closeness of the Savior and the presence of the Lord with them at this time. Bless the Reverend Paul Foster, his wife and family at this time. Really bless them and encourage them in the Lord and strengthen them as they take this time and holiday. Now, Lord, take full control of this meeting and of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in your great name's sake we ask it. Amen, Lord. Amen. Could we turn, please, to hymn number 464. Hymn number 464, simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. 464, please. Thank you.
Trusting Jesus, that is all.
Could we turn, please, in the Word of God to Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah chapter 38, we're going to read the first 13 verses together. Jeremiah 38, from verse 1 to the end of verse 13. Then Shephatiah the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah son of Pashur, and Jukal son of Shelemiah, and Pashur son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall be surely given into the hand of the king of Babylonian's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of the people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalech, which was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting at the gate of Benjamin. And Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake unto the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil, and all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in that in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he died. So Ebed-Melech took men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, Now put these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes and under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Amen. And we know God will add a blessing to this reading from his holy and precious word. Could we just sing another hymn before we come to God's precious word? Hymn number 474. Hymn number 474. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. 474, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Singing, thank you. We're just going to bow in a wee word of prayer before I leave the message that God has led upon my heart. Pray for me this morning that the Lord will take this child up and use him. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. We pray for me that the Lord will give me great liberty and speak this morning. Father, we thank you for your blessing thus far in the meeting, for feeling the presence of the Lord. Now, Lord, as I come to handle the precious Word of God, Father, hide me behind the cross that none would be seen, save Jesus only. Father, I'm very conscious right now, you must increase, I must decrease. Help me now, Father, to uplift the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ and see him sitting far and high above all. May we be like the disciples this morning, just sitting around the feet of the Savior, listening to what the Savior has to say. Lord, may they not hear me this morning, but may we hear the words of the Savior speak into our hearts and bless us in the Savior's worthy and all precious and all holy name for his great glory. Amen. You know, sometimes in the Christian's life, things happen in our lives that we don't understand. And maybe there's a brother or sister here in God's house this morning, and something's happened to you, and you just can't seem to grasp it or seem to understand. But you know, God has a plan for each and every one of us. You know, when we're in the valley, when we're feeling down, when the secret place, when the tears are rolling down our cheeks, and we feel, Lord, I'm struggling here to cope with you. Let me tell you, the Lord knows all that you're going through. And the Lord is with you every step of the way. He says in his word, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." When they pass us through, the waters will be with thee. When you pass us through the fire, you'll not be burned. Neither shall the fire kindle upon you. And at times when we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, and we ask ourselves when we're seeking his face in prayer, "Lord, where are you? I just need you right now." But what we don't realize is that every step of the way, the Lord is standing beside his own believing people. Remember that day and hour that you get saved. And the Lord said to you, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck us out of his hand." And that day and hour that you got gloriously and wonderfully saved, the Lord put his big hand of omnipotence in your hand, and he will take you till you're safely home into the promised land. How many times have you took a child over a busy road, and you've took your hand and you've grabbed it tight, and they were safe until you got to the other side? But you know, child of God, you might be going through something here this morning that I don't know about. Others here don't know what you're going through. But the Lord knows what you and I are going through time after time. And you know, perhaps there's someone here and you have lost a loved one, and you know what it is to shed the tear, and you miss that precious one that you loved so much. And you remember Jesus went through, goes through everything in our lives that we go through day and daily. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ wept over his friend Lazarus. Lazarus was dying. The word came to the Savior. Your friend Lazarus is dying, but the Lord held back, not because he didn't love Lazarus, because he was going to, a wee bit later on, show the people his glory. And eventually arrived to the home, remember, of Mary and Martha, and they came to the Savior, and they said, "Savior, if you had been here, our brother had not died." And the Lord said, "Your brother shall rise again." And they said, "Lord, we know that he'll rise again on the last day." And they were in their full grief. And he took them to the graveside of Lazarus and he prayed. And he said unto them, "Lazarus, come forth." And there the Lord raised up Lazarus from the dead. And there the Lord came when they needed him most. And no matter what you're going through in life, child of God, you lean on him and he will bring you through on the victory side. And maybe you're suffering pain. Maybe you've got an illness and you're suffering awful pain. And when you're agony and pain, you say, "Does the Lord not know? Does he not understand what we're going through?" And yet when you look at the pain that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered at the old rugged cross at Calvary for you and for me, the Lord Jesus Christ marching up Golgotha's hill, he suffered unimaginable pain. Remember, as he walked up Golgotha's hill, they pulled the hairs of his lovely cheeks. They buffeted them with their fists. They spat upon him. They plotted a crown of thorns and they hammered it deep into the Savior's skull. And they whipped his back until it was fleshless. And you know how they nailed that old, the lovely Savior to the old rugged tree of Calvary. And when you're going through pain and agony, the Lord understands what you're going through, because he suffered all this pain and agony and all the rest of it at the old rugged cross of Calvary. And child of God, the Lord does care for his own believing people. Have you ever got somebody that had let you down, that had disappointed you when you needed them most and they weren't there, and they sort of walked away when you needed them most? When you look at Gethsemane's garden, when the Lord was praying there, the Roman soldiers took the Lord Jesus Christ, and all his disciples forsook him and fled, and they walked away from him. Remember Peter and Pilate's judgment hall. Three times he denied, "No, I know not the Savior. Oh, I'm not one of his." And remember, the cock crew thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And there's nothing as terrible, I think, as somebody you know and love turning your back upon you and walking away from you when you need it the most. But let me tell you, the Lord will never fail you. The Lord will never let you down. The Word of God says that he's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. As I thought of that, I thought of the Apostle Paul and Demas, two great men of God doing great exploits for the Lord. They were in revival prayer meetings. They were in places where hundreds of souls were getting gloriously and wonderfully saved. They had the joy of sitting down, open the scriptures, pointing sinners to Jesus, the mighty to save. They saw churches planted. They saw great exploits done for the Lord. and what a great work they did from place to place. How God used them in a mighty way. But Paul writing to Timothy says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. Even in the midst of revival, even in the midst of great spiritual blessing, Demas got his eyes of the Lord, and he looked into the things of the world, and he got away from the Savior. And Paul, writing to Timothy, says, Demas hath forsaken me, and hath parted on the Thistle and Nike. Here was a fellow laborer with Paul, in the midst of the work, doing great things for God. And now Paul was left alone. You know, Paul could say, that's it, I've had enough. I can't stick this anymore. But you know what Paul did? He dusted himself down. He knew he had to carry on with the work of God. There were souls to be saved, churches to be planted, great glory to be given to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he went on in the work, and you know, reading the scriptures, the great things that Paul did for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes somebody lets us down in the work, and they walk away, and now I've had enough of this, I can't take it anymore. And we get a bit discouraged. You know, child of God, we have got to carry on with the work of God. No matter what happens in life, no matter who lets us down or turns their back on us, we have a work to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in his word, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. We read in this passage of Scripture God's servant Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, look at verse 2 and 3. Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in the city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall save his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given to the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. And God said to Jeremiah, there's going to be war in the land. There's going to be a famine in the land. You need to go and warn these people that they're going to have to flee from the wrath to come. God's going to judge this, and they'll need to get into the land of the Chaldeans. And he went out and he preached and warned the people about this coming famine, about this coming war. If they go into the country of the Chaldeans, they'll find refuge there, they'll find food, they'll find everything that they will need. But you know something, there's always those that stand against the word of God. But you know, there's those that went to the king and they said to the king, you know, king, they twisted the whole truth. This man is putting everything against the people and they're going to turn against you, king. And we read it there, how the king commanded that Jeremiah be cast into the dungeon. Look at verse 6. And they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalak, which was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah by cords. And the dungeon, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. And they took the man of God and they put him down into the dungeon. And we can see him sinking into the mire. And the mire probably went up to his knees and up into his waist. And he was left there in a dark, stinking dungeon to die there. No food, no water, no way of a refuge for him. But you know, I believe the man of God, when everything seemed impossible, when everything was against him, the king, the people had turned their back on him. Here he was, deep in the dungeon, right into the mire. And I believe this man of God wrestled with God in prayer. And he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he prayed and he agonized with God. And you know, God always answers prayer in a mighty way. But God raised up a man of God called Ebed-Melech. And his name means servant of the king. And sometimes when we're in trouble, sometimes God sends another Christian on our way to encourage us, to help us, to get us through our problem. And many times have you maybe been not well, there's a problem in your life, and some Christian says to you, brother or sister, I'm praying for you. And that just lifts your soul to think that people are calling upon God's name to help you. And that God raised up this man, Ebed-Melech, the servant of the king. And through this great man of God, God prepared a way of escape. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, now put these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the gate of the prison. And you and I might say, what a strange way for the man of God to be delivered. But you know, child of God, God's ways are not our ways. And God has always a plan for his own believing people. And when you go through the prophecy of Jeremiah the prophet, God got him eventually out of the dungeon. And there he went out and saw great exploits won for the Lord. And child of God, never question the Lord. Just take God at his word and trust him, and he will bring you through on the victory side. And sometimes you see the preacher standing there and everything seems well with him. About 3 and 3.5 years ago, my health went really down. We've a wee church in the Isle of Man in Port Erin. I was there to preach the Friday night prayer meeting and the Lord's Day services. Aaron and me went, we flew over on the Friday night. It sounds awful romantic, doesn't it? It's a 15-20 minute flight to the Isle of Man. And we arrived there on the Friday afternoon. I took the Friday night prayer meeting, and afterwards I felt a bit breathless. And whew, I'm not taking the chest infection. And we spent the Saturday, and my breathing wasn't great at all. What's happening here? The Lord got me through the 2 Lord's Day services, and at the end of it, I knew something wasn't right here. We got the plane back home on the Monday afternoon. And just after that, my breathing started to go down. Went to the doctor, the usual, went to the hospitals, x-rays, scans, and all the rest of it. They couldn't find out. They found later on, months later, that it was inflammation. But I couldn't walk any distance without my breath. I couldn't preach, couldn't pray in the prayer meeting. And I was wondering, what's going on here, Lord? And I would open up the Martyrs on a Sunday morning. I got halfway up the aisle and I had to stop for breath. Even on the home, going up the bathroom, I had to stop. I couldn't breathe. And going to bed at night, I had to stop halfway up, couldn't get a breath. And The brain was almost gone. They gave me inhalers and all the rest of it, but there was nothing they could do to help me. And I was wondering, what's going on here? But then one afternoon, I went into the back bedroom, my son's old bedroom, where I study for my messages, and I just sat at the end of the bed. And I just said, Lord, your will be done. Lord, if I'm going to be like this forever, well, Lord, I'll have to accept your will. And all I simply did was cast my care upon the Lord, for he cared for me. Still able to go to the martyrs, and the Lord said, I had no pain, nothing like that. Just simply breathless. But you know what a great encouragement was? Brethren and sisters would come to you. Brother, we're praying for you. We're upholding you at the throne of grace and prayer. And that was a great source of encouragement. You know, if you know somebody has lost someone or has a problem or not well, you go to them and you just shake them by the hand. Brother, sister, I'm praying for you. Do you know something? That means so much to them. And it means an awful lot to think that somebody is praying for me. It took about a year and a half for my breath to come back again. And sometimes I look back at this and I say, why did this happen, Lord? But then the Lord showed me a wee verse of Scripture. Come ye aside and rest a while. Maybe the Lord was saying to me, listen, you need to take a break here. And that was God's way of showing me, you're going to have to take it easy for a while. And the Lord just undertook an answered prayer in a mighty way. There was two aged missionaries in Brazil, a dear brother and a dear sister. And they served their lifetime in Brazil, serving the Lord. They were well on in years now. Saw multitudes saved. A great work done for the Lord Jesus Christ. But every year in Brazil, missionaries meet for a yearly conference, a week of meetings for a conference. They tried to get the flight there. The flights were all full. But the mayor of the town loved them, and he saw the great work that they had done down through the years. And he said to them, there's a military aircraft, there's an army, they're heading into the very town where you're going. There's two seats in that plane, and I have booked seats there, and you go and enjoy your meetings. They got ready, they got on the plane, a military aircraft, but one had to sit in one end of the plane, the other had to sit on the other end of the plane. Eventually, the military plane took off, surrounded by Brazilian soldiers. But as the plane took off, it was in the afternoon, the sun was shining. And this missionary brother that flew many times, he realized the sun's on this side of the plane, it should be on this side. This pilot's going the wrong way. But you don't go up to a pilot and say, you're going the wrong way. And he realized there's something not right here. Eventually, night fell. And he realized this pilot's lost. They should have been down a couple of hours before that. And that dear brother went up to his wife, and he went beside her, and he says, you know, this isn't looking good. I don't think we're going to make this pilot's lost. And she simply said to him, you know, the Lord is showing me we're going to get to this Bible conference. And he went and sat down, and the both of them just prayed in the quietness of their heart. But the military on the ground realized this plane's late, he's got lost. And the center reconnaissance plane to go out and look for it, and they found it. And it's a plain land. It's not like the days where the runways are lit up, but they had lorries and vans and cars lit up the runway. And they both arrived in safety. And they got to that place where God had wanted them to be. Remember what that dear sister said, dear husband? God has showed me that we're going to arrive there in safety. And listen, dear one, whatever befalls you this week, this month, this year, you don't understand that you trust the Lord and He will bring you through in the victory side. As for the Lord, His ways are perfect. I wonder, is there one in this meeting this morning and you're not saved? And you've been faithful, you know, to this house, and you enjoy the fellowship here, and you enjoy coming to the meetings. Let me ask you, would you not get saved this morning? Would you not turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace? Young person, older person, if you're not saved this morning, while others go, why not remain behind? Have a word with some of the brethren in this hall or myself. And we cannot save you, but you know what we can do? We can open up this book and point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. Listen, salvation's not in a man, a church, a religious sect or denomination, but salvation is in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ alone. It's my prayer that if you're not saved or backslidden, that you will come to the Lord even during this last hymn while the voice is speaking to you. May God bless these few wee thoughts for His honor and for His glory.